I think not.
Did you hear the one about the prolific publisher, dynamo dentist, and the other dude that walked into a bar?
Welcome to the Z-Pack, just what the doctor prescribed for all your dental sleep medicine needs. From clinical tips and best practices to what's new and what's really going on in the world of DSM, your hosts bring an unhealthy dose of humor and no-holds-barred candor to this evolving landscape. And now, your hosts, Lisa Moeller, Dr. Aaron Elliott, and Jason Tierney.
Hey everyone, it's Lisa Moeller with MedMark Media, and welcome to another edition of the Z-Pack. We are coming again remotely to you, and it's been a minute here, and we're super excited to be back, and we've got great guests scheduled for today. So as always, I have my amazing co-host with me, sleep expert extraordinaire, Dr. Aaron Elliott. Hello.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to hear your voices.
How are you? It's been a minute.
Yes, I'm just enjoying my summer up here in the great north.
Yeah, I know, me too. I'm up north as well since the, Arizona's been a hotbed, so we kind of bugged out a little bit. Got out of town. Yeah. And hey, Jason Tierney, editor of Dental Sleep Practice Magazine, how are you?
Yo, chilling.
What's going on,
man? I'm stuck here in the hotbed. I'm in the hotbed.
Oh, no. Oh no,
Matt, I'm chilling in the hotbed.
it's only supposed to be like, what, 118 there today or something?
Yeah. Last week I spent some time up in Utah, though it was a little cooler there. And the week prior to that, I was in Flagstaff. So I got to enjoy some beautiful scenery and cooler temperatures and rocked a mask the entire time. That's how I roll.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, I'm glad to hear everybody's healthy and keeping safe, and we're all back together, so that's amazing. We've got a fabulous guest today we're super excited about. Dr. Scott Simonetti practices dentistry out of East Islip, New York, with his father and other partners. He recently designed and developed a U.S. and international patent-pending oral orthotic, the POD. Dr. Scott has lectured at multiple continuing education programs and has appeared on national radio programs and blogs discussing nitric oxide, mitochondria, intermittent hypoxia, and disordered breathing. He has presented research to the Department of Defense at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and at the Military System Health Research Symposium in Kissimmee, Florida. That was a mouthful of syllables right there. Welcome, Dr. Scott Simonetti. How are you? Welcome to the Z-Pack.
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for having me. Nice to be here.
Okay.
You know, thanks for joining us. Before we really, I want to call on your bio. There is no way that you can practice in New York and go all over the place and do all these other things when you spend so much time on the core message board.
I have two lives. I have my dental practice live, and I have my nighttime research life where, after my kids get to bed, I can get on the computer and while my wife's watching some TV, and I'm on PubMed, and it's kind of my favorite hobby, and it's been, you know, now turned into more than a hobby in the, as time gone on. And just now I have a thirst for knowledge. It's just something that drives me, and it's really exciting to to stumble on some big things and really help, help not only patients, but maybe help some dentists learn and give them the abilities to, help their own patients.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a really active group there, and there's some interesting information that's shared on there. Can you talk a little bit about what that the core group is?
That's a collection of airway-centric doctors, a lot of dentists, myofunctional therapists, speech pathologists, and MDs. And it's a place where people discuss, new ideas and how dentistry is now finally coming towards the realization that breathing is one of the most important things. And dentists are in a unique position to enact change in that, not only in their patient pool, but really in our population. So It's people like-minded who, you know, are searching for new, for information and want to bring new things to their practice and help more people is essentially what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
How long, Jason, how long have you been, been practicing dental sleep medicine?
Probably, I've been a dentist for about 20 years, but probably only about 8 years. Since you don't learn much in dental school about this, it's up to the dentist, as you know, to continue to educate themselves and learn if they want about these things. But you know, it was my wife that was that started this. So she told me I was snoring. And I'm thin and I'm young and I'm healthy. And I said, no, I can't be snoring. You have to be obese to snore. That's what we thought. Mm-hmm. That's what we were taught. Yeah. So, you know, she taped me with on the phone apps, and I said, wow, that's pretty loud. And one thing led to another, and I started learning about it. And, you know, my interest grew to the point where I felt that, you know, I wanted to not only help my patients, but I wanted to contribute to the field. And I had some ideas of bringing different appliances forward to help the situation, or maybe there might have been, lack or a definite need for some help in the field. So, you know, it's nice to be able to learn about the science behind things and understand why we do something, why it works, and not just put something in someone's mouth and say, oh yeah, I was told it's gonna work, or yeah, I may do this. But when we have an understanding of the process of the etiologies of what we're treating, and it gives the dentist really a lot of power of knowledge to understand what they can affect, what they can change in the patients that are in their practice every single day that they see among them with headaches, with jaw pain, with fatigue, with disrupted sleep, that they're not raising their hand and saying, hey, Dr. Jones, can you help me with, I feel terrible in the morning. They're going to the dentist, you know, for their teeth. So it's really important that people, population, everyone around knows that, look, it's not normal to be fatigued. It's not normal to snore. It's not normal to have pain. Maybe you should ask your dentist about this, and maybe your dentist could, you know, help. You know, something that with dentistry is in the center of this, and it's nice to, use interdisciplinary approaches where a dentist could be the pivot and direct the patient to the proper specialists. And although the dentist can still have treatment themselves. So it's the information and the science behind it is really, I think, a very strong thing for everyone to learn and to absorb. Because once you understand the process of someone becoming ill, then it's easier to figure out how to change.
Well, yeah, that paradigm that you shift to from where it exists today that you mentioned, where the dentist is sort of at the center of this multidisciplinary team. What needs to happen for that to become more wide scale?
Well, the first thing I think is for people to be aware. It's just awareness that, hey, maybe my dentist can help with this. And, you know, people will generally see their dentist a lot more often, a lot easier than a pulmonologist or their sleep doctor. So, you know, someone doesn't just wind up in a pulmonologist's office. Someone has to refer them there, to direct them there, to suggest that maybe their snoring has to do with the way they're breathing and maybe they have disordered breathing. So I think that the dentist really, it's up to the dentist to learn and themselves to be able to identify this. But then the other part of it is the patients and everyone in general has to be aware that this is something that is important because it's affecting our health, but it's also something that's treatable. And not only is it treatable as an adult, it's also treatable as a child, and it's preventable in children. So the idea is eventually to figure out, well, we kind of know what we have to do. We need to educate, you know, the populace, essentially saying that these problems as adults can be avoided if children's growth is directed properly and children have proper mouth shapes to breathe properly as adults. So it's really twofold. It's helping people who missed the boat and now have problems as adults, number one. But number two, having, as time goes on, less adults sick by addressing children and addressing younger population, understanding that the way their mouth is shaped is going to affect the rest of their lives. So it's twofold. It's, you know, or threefold. It's So there's, it's not just an easy, it would have happened by now if it was that easy. But awareness is the first goal, I think, you know, not only for dentists, but for patients.
Tell us about your journey to advanced facial donics and the pod, and how did that all come about?
I met Ted some in 2014, I believe, when I was working on something. He had something that I was very interested in, and we met. We had a lot of similar ideas and thoughts in mind, and. At that point, we had the original appliance was the HomeoBlock appliance, and Ted has used that for many years. And I eventually, a couple of years after our meeting, was able to come up with the pod design. And the pod is used for different indications of use, but it has some similarities. But it is its own unique device that was patented. So, but the technology that we use, advanced facial donics, we have, you know, several appliances, but the main feature of all the appliances is the unilateral bite block technology. And that means the devices will only contact on one side, unilaterally, one side or the other. It's chosen, it's part of the design of the appliance. But that's what really differentiates our appliances from anything that's been used before or is used currently. So we, you know, that's one of the reasons why I believe that you know, the pod is such a simple appliance, but yet it is different. So
can I ask a couple questions on the pod? What is the website so people can check out a picture of it and kind of see more about what it's about?
They can go to discoverthepod.com, discoverthepod, and there's some information and some pictures. And people will get some information, and that's, yeah, it's a simple spot to start.
So that's for patients and practitioners, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So what is a typical patient that you treat with the pod? Someone coming in... probably complaining of jaw pain, and you kind of move them towards the sleep and sleep disordered breathing conversation?
Well, yeah, generally there's patients that I see that I treat with a pod. Most of the patients, I'd say 75% are women, because women have the symptoms that we can treat as far as they have the headaches, they have fatigue, they have the jaw pain, they're clenching and grinding, there's class 5 lesions. They may have difficulty staying asleep. They're saying they're waking up continuously throughout the night. They know their sleep is disrupted. So a lot of times patients won't really ask for a device from the dentist. That's right. Not how it's working. It's the dentist has to recognize this patient has a TMD. There's something going on in their jaw, and it's obvious, usually for dentists, because they have limited opening. You know, they have a lot of times won't have proper translation of the condyles. That's pretty easy to tell within 2 seconds. You know, their midline's probably off. They'll deviate opening. So there's obvious things. So when I see a patient like that, the next thing I'll ask, and even before I look at their teeth, I'll say, you know, are you getting headaches? Are you getting jaw pain? Are you tired during the day? And the majority of the patients, especially women, will say, yeah, of course I'm tired, I'm fatigued. And then the next thing they say, right. They have an excuse.
Yep.
So the excuse will be, well, of course I'm tired. I have a kid, or I have 2 kids, or I have a job, or this. And there's always an excuse attached to why they're tired and why they're fatigued. And I try to go on to explain to them, it's not your daytime activities that's making you stressed and fatigued. Mm-hmm. It's the way you're sleeping at night. It's the poor sleep. It is the amount of times you're having micro arousals, you're waking up. It's the amount of stress level, norepinephrine that's being created each time that you wake up at night. And when you have these stress hormones at night from poor sleep, from arousals, from jaw pain, from clenching and grinding, then that norepinephrine, it's in the bloodstream during the day. So it's going to make the person's daytime seem more stressed. It's going to make them seem wiry. It's going to make them on edge. It's going to make them grumpy. It's going to make them in pain. And, you know, that's only a few nights. So mm-hmm. if this is strung together for months and then years, the cumulative damage goes beyond the face and the body. And I mean, the face and the skull. It essentially, I found these connections between central sensitization syndromes. Those are pain syndromes throughout the body. Those are directly connected with jaw issues. The research clearly shows, if you look deep enough, that you can find the connections between someone who has fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic, you know, pain, lupus or autoimmune. If you roll back the clock and look at their health history, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they all had TMD and they all had headaches and they all had jaw pain. And there's a transition that people make over time. It's a continuum, and they don't just stay in the same spot with these symptoms. And that's why there's sometimes discussions or arguments about what the symptoms are of a certain breathing disorder. But there's no one symptom, because the symptoms change over time. As the disease progresses, disordered breathing, and you notice I haven't mentioned sleep apnea or UARS, or I don't like to necessarily put names on things, because then that's when arguments start. There's a big argument right now. What's the difference between UARS and sleep apnea and OSA? And to me, that shouldn't be a debate. It's not mm-hmm. really, it's a waste of time to discuss or argue about which is which, because they're both disordered breathing. It's disordered breathing. So I've simplified it. And when I talk about it and write about it, I try not to call sleep apnea or UARS, because they may be similar, but they may have differences, but the main feature is the person has intermittent hypoxia and they're having arousals, and this has implications throughout the day. So
are you still using a flat plane splint for TMD? This type of splint can block the tongue from taking an anterior position and does not reduce overall bite forces. The POD is a revolutionary splint that uses unilateral bite block technology to treat TMD while making more room for the tongue. The patented design creates a decreased bite force, helping to reduce hypertonic muscles, jaw pain, and headaches. Advance to the POD at discoverthepod.com.
Are you testing prior to making an appliance of any sort?
No, generally the first line is usually some type of stabilization treatment, a splint to get someone out of pain, reduce their fatigue. That at that point, after maybe a couple months, then they're reevaluated, and it's going to be make a determination if they need a sleep test, either PSG or home sleep test. But I think it's too difficult and too much of a barrier to care to start with a technical sleep evaluation on all the patients mm-hmm. who need our help.
They just need to get out of pain.
Yeah, it's the next step. You're running before you're walking. So you have to walk with the patient first, and you have to walk with them by getting them out of pain, getting their jaw feeling better, having their hypertonus reduced, so their mouth, their maximum opening increases, having, you know, them not having daily headaches and daily jaw pain, having waking up in the morning not needing coffee, not needing an alarm clock.
Is there a special bite technique that you take?
Well, the other nice part, one of the beauties about the POD is that no lab or no dentist is determining where the jaw position should be. What the device does is allows the person's own mandible to find its own happy spot. And mm-hmm. I have videos of this. It's pretty amazing how quickly it happens. Most of the people who have TMD or disordered breathing, if you look quickly at their midlines, the midline's usually off. They usually have a shift in the midline, 1 to 2 millimeters, maybe more, maybe a cross bite. But essentially, that's the evidence that things aren't in the right spot. So when the midlines were off, you know that the condyles are going to be a little bit off position against the articular eminence. And that's usually why people have the pain and discomfort, because all night long, all day long, their jaw is essentially compressing in spots that it shouldn't be. And that's one of the pain symptoms. So when you wear the POD, it allows the midlines to be corrected, allows the mandible to find its happy spot. And no lab or no dentist is telling the patient where to do that. The patient's jaw finds it the first time that the device is put in their mouths. with just minor adjustments, when they bite into it, guess what happens? The midlines are aligned, and they feel the strain on both left and right condyles reduce. So a lot of times someone with a headache or jaw pain, they will leave the office with it in their mouth, even though it's, you know, a nighttime appliance. You don't have to, you know, wear it 24 hours a day. I never recommend anyone to wear an appliance that long, ever.
Yeah, looking at a photo of the pod on the site, discoverthepod.com, some ways a gelb splint, but what you just shared is one way that it's certainly different. How else is it different from a gelb?
Well, that's the main difference is that, although they look
that's
similar,
a big difference.
The gelb is will contact bilaterally, left and right, and sometimes it's even indexed against the upper teeth. The upper cusp, but the pod, using unilateral BIPOC technology, only will touch on one side. So the reason we believe that, and that's the feature that makes it different, that it was the patentable feature on the pod, is the unilateral BIPOC. So what we believe is that the unilateral BIPOC is really making a major change, and this is it. The teeth all have proprioception. So if someone contacts their canines, if you tip your top of canines together, you won't be able to bite very hard because your body senses it's only a few contacts. Don't bite hard, you'll break your teeth. So when someone wears a flat plane splint, it might, and the teeth aren't touching, but yet all the teeth are contacting. So the body has a sense that, yes, all my teeth are contacting, so I'll bite very hard. You can bite very hard. So what traditionally will happen in flat plane splints and people who wear them, over a few years, they always break the back by the back molars because they crack them because the bite force is so hard. So what the unilateral bite block does, it tricks the body into saying, okay, there's only a few contacts, don't bite very hard, don't use your full bite force. So when you put it in, I ask patients, okay, bite as hard as you can, and they say, well, I'm trying, I can't bite very hard into it. So what it's doing is it's telling the body there's only a few contacts, don't use your full force. And that's one of the reasons why the main measurement I use is maximum voluntary opening. That's a clinically tested measurement for TMD. And most of the patients will have 33, 34, 35 maximum opening. And then, you know, maybe after a month or so only, they're up to 40. And then after 2 or 3 months, they get into the 50. So that's the hypertonus being reduced. Hypertonus is when the muscles are in spasm, they're shortened. They're gonna be firing all the time. The patient's grinding the teeth all night long. That's gonna be one of the sources of headaches and the jaw pain is the muscles are in contraction. They're contracted. That's because they have sympathetic spindles, the masseter and our tree muscles. So whenever you have a sympathetic response, that could be from a micro arousal, it's telling the teeth to contract and use the muscles and clench your teeth. So what we want to do is we want to break that hypertonus. And when you break the hypertonus, the person's maximum voluntary opening increases tremendously and their pain's gone and the jaw function is improved and it's a happier person. So,
you've got subjective, you've got objective and subjective information there, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So I also use, I've been doing a field study for probably, you know, several years with the appliance and I use standard questionnaires that were recognized by the medical community that measure certain things, for instance, headaches. One was given to me by Dr. Avram Gold. That's the body sensations questionnaire. He helped validate that, design it and validate that some years ago. And he believes that's a great questionnaire for somatic syndromes, central sensitization syndromes, pain syndromes. That's called the body sensations questionnaire, BSQ. So I use that. I use a MIDAS. That's a recognized questionnaire for headaches and migraines. And then I use ones from for jaw function that were created specifically for TMD recognition. So yeah, there's questionnaires, but the easiest thing and the most exciting thing is when you just measure their opening, when you see the person back, and that's evidence that you've healed that person. And, you know, what I'm looking to do with the appliance is not just use it as a Band-Aid and stop things from happening. We want to try to help them heal and help reverse the damage it was causing as well.
So Scott, we only have a couple more minutes here. I just want to say before Jason gets into his lightning round of questions at the end of our little chat, What a refreshing approach you're taking with your patients. I want to commend you for that. As a sleep apneic patient myself, and a woman, you basically describe my pre-diagnosis self. And you know, I also have fibromyalgia and all of that, but I suffered for years before I finally got diagnosed with my OSA. So I commend you for really taking a deep dive and a hard look at that with your patients.
Thanks. Yeah, that's I didn't know that about you, but unfortunately, you know, you see that a lot, because when eventually OSA is diagnosed, that's a really late into the stage, into the disease process. So to me, that's too late, or, you know, it's better than not treating the patient, but still we can do better. The medical dental profession can do better and not wait that long where it's that obvious that the person is sick. You know, yeah. I can now identify when someone's, you know, this process is happening, this oxidative stress, this mitochondrial dysfunction, it's happening well before it's obvious to the medical community right now. It's, you know, right. It doesn't have to be gross abnormalities in people. We can see it. It's out there. The information is out there. It just needs to be disseminated that we can see this damage in people well before it's showing up, obviously. You know, it's happening.
Agreed.
Happening at the cellular level.
Agreed. And thank you for all you're doing.
So we urge everyone to check out discoverthepod.com to learn more. And you mentioned several different useful questionnaires, and we've got our own ZPAC questionnaire. So we've got a few questions for you. Are you ready?
Shoot, you got it.
Number one, do you like tapioca?
Only if my grandmother makes it.
Oh, homemade tapioca.
Okay. I'm going to have to have your grandmother's tapioca. Do you
can
believe in ghosts?
Sample?
Do I believe in ghosts? Yeah. That's a tough question. Do I believe in ghosts? Yes, I believe in ghosts.
Okay.
Nice.
What did 8-year-old Scott Simonetti want to be when he grew up?
Plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the first time we've heard that one.
Interesting. Face or body?
And then we always have a, sorry.
Yeah, I was probably face. That's what I knew when I was 8 years old. But I'm glad I chose the path that I did.
We are too.
And then we always have a theme song to carry us out, and it's always the guest's favorite song. So what's your outro song? Your favorite jam?
Overall. Life favorite.
Oh, Jim. Well, how about I go safe, and I've one of my favorites is Cheeseburger in Paradise by Jimmy Buffett.
Oh. That's a good one.
Wonderful.
Always love Buffett. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so very informative for all of us and our audience, and we just really appreciate you and all the work you're doing with sleep apnea. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This was a lot of fun, and it's really nice to talk to ears that are really willing to listen, and you know, that's a nice part of that.
I'm excited to try it. I already have a few patients I'm thinking of.
Good. I think you'll see how simple it is, and you'll be happy. So that's good.
Great.
Yeah,
and
kudos to you for continuing educating your peers, particularly through the core group, and look forward more about the pod myself, and thanks for being here.
Thanks,
well,
Scott.
Thanks for listening. So I appreciate it, and like I said, it's nice to have ears that are open, put it that way.
We're all ears, and we look forward to having you back on the ZPAC again. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thank you again. Be well,
take care.
Bye.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that's going to do it for another edition of the ZPAC. If you want more information on us, please go to zzzpack.com, zpack.com. Please like, listen, comment, any place that you listen to your podcast, because we would surely appreciate that. So for myself, Lisa Moeller, and Dr. Aaron Elliott.
Good. Oh, hi.
Jason Tierney.
And
out.
Jason Tierney. We
go wrestle a lion.
we wish you guys the best Z's ever, and we'll see you back on the next episode of the Z Pack. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Z-Pack with your hosts, Lisa Moeller, Dr. Aaron Elliott, and Jason Tierney. Until next time, sweet dreams.